much about. So easy. You gotta
put it in perspective. Please get the kids out the room because I'm going to let a couple fly on this. I'm just letting you know right off. I usually don't curse on my videos, but I'm going to let a couple fly.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello.
Hello? You just introduced her. You played a song. You kissed her. She sat down. Hello? What is that?
How are you?
How is she? Find out. Ask a question. Ask.
If you would stop yelling at me, maybe I'd do it right.
If you did it right, I wouldn't have to yell at you. Interview. Go.
Please, I don't think we need to resort to name calling.
One last thought, you guys. When I was a boy, I used to think that becoming rich and becoming famous would make me happy. Boy, was I right.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I am the one who knocks.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah! That's hot!
Roll another one.
Interview. Go!
Just like the other. This one seems to be about to quit.
Who hurt you?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Mandy Patinkin.
Holla.
Roll.
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 Speaking, of course, of the Hummer.
Just like the other one.
Where's the outrage there?
This one seems to be about tense.
It's game time.
I don't have another cent.
Well, I don't think anyone knows what you're talking about, but it does seem like things couldn't get any worse.
I don't want to guard that joint.
I, myself, am a drummer.
Just pass it around.
This is America.
Well, don't hold that bad joint, my friend.
Choke on your life.
I'll just pass it on down.
And now.
Well, here's to my big opening.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. No, not already. No, yes. It's way too early. Woo. I think week of.
What's today? The 5th? The 5th of October?
Yes.
It's practically Halloween.
Halloween, Halloween. Ghostly things are gonna happen.
Kids insist on it.
Ooh ah, ooh ah.
Sing it if you know it.
Halloween spooks.
Nope.
Outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree.
Thank you, Lisa.
I wish that the children could see.
No.
But I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
Part of the reason I wanted to get into some Halloween spooks here today is I have a Halloween-related story to get us going on this Friday morning.
Not worth it, but go ahead.
Here's a woman who's a realtor. She's trying to sell her own house.
She's a realtor who has, in her family, kept holding her childhood home, the home she grew up in. She doesn't live there anymore. She's moved out, but she still owns the property. Now she wants to sell it. But she's been having trouble selling it because Ohio, where she lives in Brooklyn, Ohio, it's one of those states like California where you have to disclose if there's anything wrong with the house.
Uh-oh.
A stigmatized property is what they call it. If there's something that the potential buyer should know about, you can't sell it to them without telling it because after the fact they can come back and reject the sale or sue you or any number of other things. And her house is haunted.
Haunted?
She yes. has to disclose that her house is haunted?
She has to disclose that she has ghosts in the house, yes. It's our family home. We're probably never going to be able to sell it. It's very haunted. When I was a little girl, I would hear knocking on the windows, knocking on the doors. You'd hear footsteps all the time. And when she discloses that to people that come to see the house, invariably, all of them just run the other way. They have no interest in living inside a haunted house.
She's an idiot because you can't prove it's haunted. So
yeah, I mean,
nobody could ever prove that she didn't disclose something.
Well, her boss, the president of Coldwell Banker, says the state of Ohio requires you to disclose anything that can be detrimental. That is the law, and that's why they she does it.
But so, unless it's provable is all I'm saying. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, look, there's not that much to it, but I guess what she's concerned about is she sells the home, and then 2 weeks later, the buyer says, I want my money back, and I'm going to sue you because you didn't tell me the house was haunted because I'm hearing all of these noises in the house. I'm hearing footsteps, and I'm hearing things on the window, whatever.
But what I'm saying is, court would
throw
that
out. Yeah, but I'm saying they go into the court, and court goes, okay, it's haunted, thank you.
When you say they can't prove it, if you can stand in the house and hear those noises, isn't that all the proof you need?
Nope, it is not. I'll tell you, my house has a tremendous amount of noise. A tremendous amount. And when I'm there by myself, I mean, I'll be honest. Sometimes it's a little scary.
Sometimes it seems like there may be someone in the house.
Well, you hear things and you go, okay, you know what? I know no one's here and I know there's no ghosts or whatever, but what was that?
Right.
Like, that was too much of a noise or too weird. And you walk around, you look, and unless you can see something, I can't imagine that there's any kind of proof that would hold up in court. I heard something isn't gonna cut it.
I would agree.
You know?
What do you think is making the noises in your house?
I don't know, but it's weird.
You think it's ghosts?
No, I'm not a big ghost fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a believer much. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't destroy me if I found out there was a ghost in there, but I'm guessing it probably isn't. But I really don't know. And sometimes the noises are so strange that you go, okay. You know, even if I'm a no ghost guy, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, right.
And how it happened, or who made it, or what happened. So I don't know. It's a little freaky, but it's. I think
so.
It'd be
you're
hard
not going to disclose that when you sell the house.
No, of course not. Let them figure it out themselves.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen to this woman. I mean, they do say there's no specific wording pertaining to ghosts in the law, but most people would consider ghosts a problem, and it would therefore be considered a stigmatized property, and that's why they're disclosing it.
All right, it's a zombie, maybe. I don't know.
That's why they're having trouble selling. So good times.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes, we have the equipment and the people for an effective team. But, like any team, it can win only when everyone knows his job and does it well. What is your job?
Creating moments with? I think. We have our breakfast with the Black Keys today.
There it is.
That's
how about
awesome.
That?
Finally. 7 a.m. Breakfast with Black Keys. You can hear it on the radio. You can also go online, go to krock.com, and watch the whole thing. We're going to video cast it. Is that what you call it?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Stream might be an easier way to say it.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Breakfast with Black Keys at 7 a.m. this morning. Very excited about that. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have a brand new internet roundup for you.
Wow.
Cousin Sal's going to take a look at the NFL picks, if you're the gambling type.
Okay.
And Bean, tell me about Fatty, Fat, Fatty, because I'm not that familiar with this story.
Well, it's a viral video sensation right now, and it is everybody's talking about it. There's this newscaster in the Midwest, I think Wisconsin, who got a letter from a viewer saying, hey, you're fat, and you're setting a bad example for the kids. Why don't you lose some weight, Fatty, Fat, Fat, Fat? And rather than just, eat a Twinkie and cry like most girls, she decided to take to the airwaves and dress this bully down on TV, in what some are considering a very eloquent way. But there's a lot of talk about the motives of the guy who wrote the letter and how she responded to it and what it says about bullying of fat people. So we're going to discuss that later today.
All right. So that's coming up as well. But the big thing is the Breakfast with the Black Keys at 7 a.m. Make sure you're tuned in or you're watching at krock.com. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is back. Yes.
Yay.
We got the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55. I'm waiting for Ralph to get in here and put on his headphones because this moment is too good.
Oh, I see. You don't want him to miss it. Okay.
It's too good. The moment is just the best moment that's ever happened. Ralph, you've been sick for a couple of days. Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Here's what you missed.
We were talking to Stephen Yeun from Walking Dead yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and this happened with Bean. It may be one of the best Bean moments ever.
Awesome.
And now, a moment with Bean.
We're talking about The Walking Dead, which returns on AMC this Sunday night.
Nope. A week from Sunday.
A week from Sunday. I apologize.
October 14th.
On AMC. We're going to have David Morrissey in next hour, who plays the governor.
Next week.
Who is a new...
What the hell's wrong with you?
Dude, you got issues.
That was a moment with Bean.
It was an amazing 1-2 punch.
Did he think he was on the Mark and Brian still?
No idea.
He thought it was a different show.
This Sunday, and it wasn't. And then we're going to talk to that guy next week, and he said next hour. I was like, what's happening?
Well, Bean's a looper. And so time doesn't have a lot of,
meaning for him because he's constantly going back and forth.
Oh, what'd you hear that? I thought that would
I have been disoriented since seeing the Looper movie. I'm now convinced that somebody's going to come from my future and try to kill me. So I'm nervous all the time.
Fingers
now,
crossed.
You went out to see a movie?
Well, yes.
We had Ryan Johnson on.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been in town. And
we had
right
Joseph Gordon
show,
Levitt on, too, but he didn't go see it then.
Dave and I took the kids, Dave and Chip, and we went out to the movies after the show a couple days ago. And saw Looper, yeah.
Yeah, wow, look at you.
Good times, I know. Movie. Felt like a grown-up. It was fun. Yeah. So, 5:57 now. Ralph is here. We want to hear about your bizarre illness later, but right now I know you got a lot of showbiz to get to.
I do. The rumors of Eva Longoria and Mark Sanchez expecting a child, well, don't believe those rumors just yet. Her representative has stepped forward and told TMZ.com that they are false, absolutely not true. The two are just magically in love, but they are not having a child together. She is not with child. And it really comes as no surprise to those who follow the Jets because Mark Sanchez can't complete a pass. And so,
hey, there you go.
Why would you think he would be any different in the bedroom? David Blaine. It's the big day. Magician David Blaine.
Magician in quotes, though, right?
No, he's the world's greatest magician.
Former magician.
He's the world's greatest magician. He is going to do his next big trick in New York City.
But is this magic?
No, it's not magic at all. Remember his previous stunts? He was buried alive for a week.
Yeah.
Then he was encased in a block of ice for 3 days.
Yeah, and I kept thinking, this isn't magic? What's happening?
Well, now he's going to be surrounded by 1 million volts of electricity streamed at him by Tesla coils. Tesla coils are those things you probably saw. If you ever saw like an old timey Frankenstein movie, it's
okay.
Yeah.
It's like these globes that shoot current across them,
and he's going to be hit by that.
He is going to be wearing a chainmail bodysuit and wire helmet,
okay,
to protect him from the surge. But for 3 days and three nights, he will be surrounded by the surging current.
Oh, but not. It won't be connecting with him.
No.
Well then.
Ah. Come on, what a trip that
well,
is.
Why
3 days and three nights, by the way?
Why 1 day? Why 1 hour?
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand.
No point in that. No point in that at all.
There's no point.
But he's going to be on display, and you can see him being surrounded by 1 million volts of current.
Huh. Okay. Somebody should just run in there and push him over.
He won't be able to eat. He won't be able to eat for 3 days. If that means anything.
All right. Well, why do we care about this? I don't understand what he's doing.
It's a big thing.
Sure.
And everyone's going to watch
him. I'm not.
Can you imagine the first 30 seconds? Like, and then you're like, is this all it does?
Yeah.
Okay.
What else is there?
Dave, we're going to go grab dinner. We'll be back, okay? Hang in there, buddy. He's going to have a tube going into his mouth so he can drink, and another tube in case he has to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
You'll be able to see it live on YouTube, by the way. It's going to be streamed.
But we don't have to, right?
Yeah.
That's correct.
Talk about your death-defying stunts. Rihanna.
Yeah.
Made out with Chris Brown again this week.
Yeah.
The New York Post is reporting that the former lovebirds were spotted getting hot and heavy at another nightclub yet again this week in the Big Apple. This time it was 2 a.m. on Wednesday morning. She popped in there and they enjoyed a lot of public displays of affection.
I wish
and left together around 4. Now that's a stunt. Dave Blaine's not taking his life in his hands. Rihanna is.
I wish she wouldn't do that.
It's love, man. You don't get it.
No, I get it.
You don't understand.
You think, Kevin, you think love.
It's true. Sofia Vergara, I love her. I love her so much. Nice to see an actress in Hollywood being honest. She was being interviewed by Lucky Magazine saying, how wonderful is it to turn 40, the big 4-0? And she says, it is absolutely horrible. Thank you so much.
I'm not having a good time.
I don't want to get older. I am not happy being 40. So many of these women say, oh, you know, I didn't even know who I was until I was 40, and this is the best time of my life. And,
yeah.
You know, Cameron Diaz and a bunch of them have said that kind of crap. But no one likes to get older, and Sophia's very honest about it. She also talks about her giant cans. Saying she recognizes that her cleavage has opened some doors for her, but she said having boobs that large is basically a pain in the ass, says Sophia. So, once again, being very honest.
Not for me. They're not a pain in the ass for me.
Your boobs aren't a pain in the ass?
No, hers.
Oh, I see. I don't think
I enjoy them.
I don't think she's looking from your point of view.
Oh. Some now, organs, Kevin, such as your breasts, receive special attention.
And the battle between the judges and American Idol continues. By now, you've probably all seen the video leaked of Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey cursing each other out. Nicki saying she was going to knock out Mariah Carey.
Oh, please, God, happen.
I told them not to effing put me up here with her effing highness over there, she says right during there. The video. Mariah went on The View yesterday with Barbara Walters for a taping and said that more than one person overheard Nicki say, if I had a gun, I would shoot the bitch.
Wow.
Dude.
Yeah. Mariah says because of this little bit of information, she has hired extra security because she claims Nicki is unpredictable and she just can't take a chance. She doesn't feel comfortable emotionally with Nicki, but plans to remain on the show. Well, Nicki responded via Twitter yesterday. I guess it hurts to have producers tell you to your face that Nicki's the best judge we've had since Simon. Oh, poor you. Keep them lies coming.
Love it.
She also added in another tweet, hey, y'all, let's just say Nicki said something about a gun. People will believe it because she's a black rapper.
Awesome.
So she's pulling the race card, and so it goes.
It is so on.
And so it goes.
I love that it's on.
Can we see this yet or no?
They're just not yet.
The video?
Not January.
The filming of them?
Oh, January. Yeah. Now they're still filming the audition process now. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Writer, director, and producer Clive Barker, man who gave you Hellraiser and Candyman, 60 years old today. Actor Guy Pearce, so good in The King's Speech and L.A. Confidential, 45 years old. Actress Josie Bissett from Melrose Place and The Secret Life of an American Teenager, she's 42. Hey, how did this name slip in here? L.A. Clippers guard Grant Hill is 40 years old today. How did that make my list?
Weird. Well, who makes your list?
I'm trying to think. Who prepares this list for me? Oh, that's right. The King of Mexico. Puts that together. Actress Kate Winslet's 37. And actor Jesse Eisenberg from The Social Network is 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
I like this part.
It's the Kevin DeBee Show. An hour from right now, our breakfast with the Black Keys.
What?
Pretty cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Kevin DeBee Show. On a Friday, a couple nights ago, was the first of, I think, four presidential debates, I want to say, between Mr. Obama and Mr. Mitt Romney. And by all accounts, the president was shut out on Wednesday night. He
Who just expected that?
Looked tired, looked lethargic, looked disinterested. Even his biggest supporters have said he did not do well that night. And Mr. Romney came in and looked eager to please and had a lot of facts and figures at his disposal and just wiped up the floor with the president. One guy has a theory that he's the only guy who's floated this one that really did make me laugh out loud. And it's our old friend Al Gore back in the news. Now, Al was the man who was running for president on the Democratic ticket back in 2000. Isn't that hard to believe? It's been 12 years already since he was the guy?
He's got to still be bitter.
I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
how
much
weight he's gained since the last time I saw him.
He's eating his sorrow away. Can you imagine being that close to being the president and getting the popular vote and then them going, you know what, not so much for you?
Yes. Well, I think he's gone crazy. He's a little touched now because here was his theory as to what went wrong with the president at the debate a couple nights ago in Denver, Colorado.
I'm going to say something controversial here. Obama arrived in Denver at 2 p.m. today, just a few hours before the debate started. Romney did his debate prep in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to 5,000 feet,
exactly,
and you only have a few hours to adjust.
That's interesting.
I don't know. Maybe
training at altitude.
Are you kidding? Clearly, what he's saying is it was the altitude that made the president tired and lethargic, and that's why he didn't do well. Because he prepared in Vegas and then just flew in right before the
debate. They do say that about athletes and athletics and teams that play there.
Yeah.
It can make a difference, but to a debate,
to a guy standing up at a microphone talking, I don't get it. But we wanted to get clarification on this topic. We got the great Al Gore, former Vice President of the United States, back on the Kevin DeBee Show. Joining us now. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Kevin and Bain. How are you?
Well, we're good.
Glad to hear it.
What about this this crazy theory? Is anyone buying it?
Now, hold on. When I first started talking about global warming, a lot of people said, well, that's a crazy theory, too.
Right.
So let's ease off on the crazy, okay?
Right, but you can only make up so many things before people start to call you on it.
Now, it's a fact that Atlanta...
Denver
is a mile above sea level.
Right. That's correct.
And that in that altitude, you do get less oxygen to your brain.
Certainly.
And it does. There is an adjustment process for anyone who goes to Denver, but generally you can still stand and talk.
Just arrived that day.
Right.
Maybe he hadn't acclimated yet to the higher altitude.
But he wasn't running a marathon. He was standing.
But it takes a lot of oxygen to the brain to be able to concentrate.
I wouldn't know anything about that, unfortunately.
No, you're not getting enough oxygen, I would say. So I think my theory is an excellent one, that he just simply was deprived of oxygen.
Of what?
Okay.
Oxygen.
Okay. Mr. Gore, isn't it more likely, though, that he took the debate for granted, that he didn't prepare enough, that he got bad advice from his advisors, that he was having an off day, that he was tired? I mean, there's a lot of
other
reasons.
Didn't get enough sleep? Whatever.
That seemed more likely than the oxygen.
Talk about crazy theories.
Well, I mean, he is still the president, so you can see how he would be really, really busy.
But.
And tired.
What about the oxygen?
Well, right. Okay. But we're
That's
saying.
That's why I always carry my own oxygen with me.
What?
That doesn't sound like oxygen, Mr. Gore.
That's a mixture. How's that oxygen?
It's good. It always keeps my brain working.
Is that right?
It sure does. Woo!
Do you think if the president had taken some of your oxygen, he would have done better or worse?
I think so. I think it would have expanded his consciousness.
Uh-huh.
And he would have seen things in a whole new way.
I think we know now why Mr. Obama is not asking Mr. Gore for any advice.
All right?
Woo!
You okay, yeah. Mr. Gore?
I'll tell you something. I could debate Mitt Romney right now. Bring him on. Bring it on, bitch.
I'll bet you.
Brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming up in minutes. Don't miss Breakfast with the Black Keys. That's in about 40 minutes or so from right now. A little less than that. You can listen to it live, of course, here on K-Rock. And you can also watch it. We're streaming it through krock.com if you want to see it as well as hear it. Friday morning means Ralph takes on the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Bunch of new movies in Cineplexes this weekend that you may want to check out. We are quickly getting through the doldrums of the fall, heading towards the Christmas releases, which means the movies get better and better each and every weekend. This weekend's got some real diversity to it. You've got, excuse me, an artistic-type film that people have been talking about for a long time. You've got one for the kids, and kids of all ages. You've got an exciting action adventure, and then you got one that features Olivia Wilde as a stripper. So, really.
What?
Yeah.
What? Can we skip the first five and get right to that one? What?
No, let's talk about The Paperboy. This is a film by director Lee Daniels that has been the source of some controversy for some time since it was first filmed. It was talked about the graphic scene between Zac Efron and Nicole Kidman.
Really? Yes, the pee scene, right?
The pee scene, that's right. People talked about the fact that Zach apparently is stung by a jellyfish in the film.
Yeah.
And so Nicole Kidman needs to...
Do they show that?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Which I think is worth the price of admission alone right there, if you ask me. John Cusack stars in the film. As I mentioned, Zac Efron and Nicole Kidman also star. Matthew McConaughey also in it. Reporter returns to his Florida hometown to investigate a case involving a death row inmate. As you can imagine, because it is Florida, he meets a bunch of freaks.
Sure.
Here are some clips from the trailer of The Paperboy.
I'm looking for the office of Ward Jansen of the Miami Times.
I work for the Times.
This here is Miss Charlotte Bless.
Oh, not for long. Hillary and I are engaged to be married. Everything you need to know about Hillary Van Wetter that's been in the papers is here in these boxes. Our exciting correspondence is in the bottom box. I really just want to thank you for helping me get Hillary out of that hellhole.
Well, I wouldn't go booking honeymoon just yet.
Oh.
But we all going to fight this in the way it came about.
Sounds like a lot of accents going on down
there.
Sure does, doesn't it?
Really working hard on the accents.
It's a mystery. It's a thriller. It's pee. So you got all that going for
you. Wow.
Let's talk about the stripper movie, shall we?
Please.
Butter. In small town Iowa, an adopted girl discovers her talent for butter carving.
I'm sorry?
Yep, you heard me. She's an excellent butter carver and finds herself pitted against an ambitious local woman in their town's annual contest.
Wait, we're talking about movies now.
Yes, this is a movie about butter carving.
This is in theaters?
Yes.
I can't believe TLC hasn't turned this into a show yet.
I wouldn't watch this on TV.
Butter Wars. Can you imagine Butter Wars?
Only if it's butter from South Park. Here is unbelievable.
Some clips from the trailer of Butter.
Welcome to the State Mastery in Butter Competition.
I really think Bob and I could parlay this fame we have from butter into politics.
Tokyo Rose, I think I love you.
My real name's Brooke.
Oh my God.
You came in between me and my man.
Bob is my husband. I plan on proudly bearing his children.
So?
I get pregnant like once a month.
They see what I have planned for them. These so-called judges, their jaws are going to hit the floor.
Oh my God.
You had your boobs done?
Have you worked with butter before?
I've worked with it all.
See, it's a wacky, quirky comedy about butter carving.
Is it a mockumentary? Butter.
No.
Is it a documentary?
No.
Then no!
How does Olivia end up stripping?
That's her job.
Oh, she's a stripper. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good.
There's butter and stripping. Unfortunately, I don't think they're used in the way I would like to see them used.
They went together.
That's two of the things you usually look for in a movie, Ralph.
Frankenweenie.
There it is.
Opens up this weekend. Tim Burton's Frankenweenie. Catherine O'Hara, Martin Short, Martin Landau, Winona Ryder. What a great cast. Clever story about a young boy named Victor. Get it? Victor von Frankenstein?
Sure.
Who conducts a science experiment to bring his beloved dog Sparky back to life, only to face unintended, sometimes comical consequences. Here's a scene from Frankenweenie where, sadly, Victor's dog Sparky has been uncovered as being reanimated.
I know.
Know what?
You know.
No.
I think I know what you know I know.
Look, I don't know what you think I know. I don't know it.
Your dog is alive!
It's impossible.
I know it is so impossible, but you did it! You did it! So show me how, or I'll tell everyone. Oh, Mrs. Frankenstein!
That sounds really funny.
It is supposed to be really great.
That sounds good.
That little kid is one of his classmates named Igor, who's just like Igor from the movies. He's got a little hunchback, and he's sort of his assistant. This thing looks just adorable. If you're a fan of horror movies, you will get all the inside jokes, and I think the kids will just like the comedy and the stop-motion animation. So,
why does it have to be animated?
Bean, just go.
Just go and see it. It's fine.
You are such a freak.
It's fine.
We need to have this conversation another time.
Bean
will not see an animated.
It's heebie-jeebies.
It does. He'll watch animation on television.
It's not the same. It's creepy in the movies.
You're kidding me? The Peanuts cartoons? The holiday Peanuts cartoons? Every year he talks about how much he loved those. Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, and all that crap.
I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. I really can't. But this does look super good.
And lastly, Liam Neeson. He's got troubles again.
No.
Yeah. Remember last time his daughter was taken?
Yeah.
What happens now when his daughter and his wife are taken?
What? It happens again?
They're his family's taken twice as much as before, or taken two, if you will. Here's the basic premise, and it makes it a little less preposterous when you understand it. The father of the guys he killed before in the white slavery ring is ticked off that he killed all of his sons. So he makes a point of wreaking revenge on this man's life.
All right, payback. That makes
sense. He's going after him, and he's going to kidnap his wife and daughter and teach him a lesson.
All right.
So Liam now must engage with the same family that he dealt with in the first film to get his wife and daughter back and also perhaps end the cycle of violence that goes on between these two groups. Here's Neeson having a familiar conversation on the phone with his daughter regarding whether she will be taken or not.
How's it going?
Listen to me carefully, Kim. Your mother and I are going to be taken. And people are going to come for you, too.
Leave the place where you are. Go to where the book is I told you about.
There's a door. Go into the room and hide in the closet.
You got that?
Yes.
Go. Now.
Do they have subtitles for him?
Liam is starting to reach Harrison Ford territory with his performances, where he thinks he has a lot of gravitas and he doesn't have to do all that much to get it across the screen. To his credit, however, he still can kick some ass at about 60. I think he's about a 60-year-old action star now. Still very believable. I know it's a little silly, But I'm absolutely going to check
it out.
Hey, the first one was silly, too, and it was great.
No. I thought the first one was great. I think it was silly at all. This one is kind of silly. He's going, this is the diehard syndrome. Like, yeah. How can this happen to the same guy the same way, the same again? What are the odds, right? But I'm a sucker for this film, and I will go check out Taken 2 this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. That's my pick, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat coming up in a few minutes, and then we head down the hall to the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock to hang out with our friends in the Black Keys. They're going to be performing live. We're going to be asking them some questions. The Kevin and Bean listeners are going to be there asking some questions, and we'll be streaming the whole thing live through krock.com if you want to watch it. Or if that's not convenient, you, of course, listen to it right here on the radio. That's all coming up in about 20 minutes or so from right now. First, a brand new internet roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com. You can see all these videos.
Click that mouse.
I wasn't happy with the way I did that.
Because
I started the music while I was talking.
Take
right.
two.
Take two. Go to kevinandbean.com to see all of the following videos.
Yeehaw! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's internet
All right, the first one, I wanted to just play this for you. I'm sure you've seen it a billion times. I think it has close to 100 million views, this Gangnam Style.
Oh, it's well over 200 million.
200 million.
Oh, well over 200 million, the most liked video in the history of YouTube. And yeah, when you have a video that's that popular. And by the way, the thing has turned into an enormous radio hit, too. It's on the air everywhere, and it's number one on iTunes. Now you're getting like 100 parody videos a day, Rob.
There's a couple seconds of the original, just so you know.
Open Gangnam Style.
All right, so you got that. Now you've got a video that has the music video without the music. It's just him singing. And you remember that part where he's walking and there's just a huge storm of wind coming at him and a lot of white, I don't know what it is. Sounds dirtier than it is, but there's just way too much wind. This is what it sounds like without the music being added to the music video. So that's good times right there.
That's weird.
It's a weird video to see all the sound effects of everything that he's going through in that video with no music. It's very disoriented.
How about an acoustic cover of Gangnam Style? Acoustic.
Open Gangnam Style.
Come on. It's pretty well done, by the way.
It is good.
I hate marching bands. Marching bands blow. They're the worst type of music that there is. The Ohio University Marching Band did Gangnam Style.
Of course they did.
I guess they got to have fun.
You would have enjoyed that had you been at the stadium. You would have said, that's kind of fun that they're doing Gangnam Style.
Yeah, I would have said it's interesting that they're doing that song. But seriously, that's the lowest form of music, right? That's lower than ringtones.
I don't know. I'd listen to marching bands over Skrillex any day.
Not me. Pentatonix is a group that does a lot of covers on YouTube. And they did a cover of Gangnam Style. This is all with their voices. Only their voices. Sound like there was a frog in there, too. I'm not sure.
Pretty impressive.
When Reindeers Attack is the name of the next video, we are going through Kevin and Bean's internet roundup. It's a brand new one. Go to kevinandbean.com to see all of these. This is awesome. Guys are skateboarding downhill. I'm guessing they're going 20 miles an hour, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's a steep mountain road. No cars on the road. They're going right down the middle of the street. And out of nowhere, a deer runs across the road and just takes out one of the skaters.
Just makes contact with the skater, and the guy flies like he's Superman. It's awesome.
Holy shit. That was so radical. Is that dude all right?
That's my favorite part. Oh, wow, that was radical. This is awesome. I wonder if he's okay. It didn't look like it, by the way. I didn't see the rest of it, but it didn't look like he would be okay.
It's radical if you're not the guy who gets hit by a deer.
Yeah, true. The next one is really bizarre. A huge black bear comes up to the back of this guy's house, and he's videotaping it. And he tells his wife comes out of the house, and she's going to try and scare it away. He's scared of the black bear. Listen to her. And imagine being married to her because she comes out of the house. The black bear probably weighs 350 pounds, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
She yells at it, and it turns and runs. It's scared of her.
You shan't tell the bears here. Let me go in your office because he might come after me.
Get down! Right now! Go! No! No! Down!
You scared him.
The bear runs away from that woman, doing the right thing.
The bear is moseying around this guy's backyard and then starts to go up the stairs onto the porch, okay? That's when the woman comes out of her back door onto the porch and starts screaming at the bear. She's not more than 8 feet away from the bear.
Yeah.
On the porch with nothing between her and the bear, screaming at this bear to turn around. That bear in 1 second could have taken her down and eaten her.
Oh, my gosh.
She had no fear. She knew she was the king of the world.
That bear's never coming back to that house.
No, neither's that man.
No, he's gone too.
Bad lip reading is very funny. They take actual video from a movie and then they lip read. They say, if I didn't know what these people were saying, if I were just reading their lips, what do I think they would be saying? And then they add it into it. So you're watching an actual scene from The Hunger Games. And while you hear this dialogue that I'm about to play, it 100% looks like that's what they're saying. 100%.
What did you do? It reeks. It's like a hot foot forest.
Oh, well, I got the squirts. You know, we make fudge puddles.
My bad. I didn't need the visual.
It's horrific.
Okay, can we forget it?
And when you watch it, I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous, but when you watch it, that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying. And they found people to do the voices for the characters in The Hunger Games that really do sound like the people in The Hunger Games, too.
The presidential debate songified. That has to happen before something really exists. Yes. This is the presidential debate that just happened, what, 2 nights ago?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Pretty quick work. Is this the Gregory Brothers?
Sure is.
All right.
You raise taxes and you kill jobs.
I lowered taxes 18 times.
Time for some closing statements. If you got something to say, you better say it.
Bring down rates, broaden the base, simplify the code, incentives for growth.
Oh, we're going to double down on the top down. America does best when the middle class does best.
Bring down rates, broaden the base.
Oh, we're going to double down on the top down.
Simplify the code. Incentives for growth.
Oh, we're going to top down on the double down
on the base.
The other thing that he does that's amazing is he makes the video match the audio. So you see those guys talking.
That's so cool. Yeah.
I think quit wasting our time with the actual debates.
Agreed.
Just have the candidates go into a room, do the debates, tape it, let the Gregory Brothers edit it down and just show that.
And finally, President Obama, 99 problems. This is somebody who took every word that the president has said and edited it together into the following song. And you can find all of these at kevinandbean.com.
If you're having bank problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems. But it's not one. I got protesters saying our economy blows. And my Wall Street brothers occupy close. You bitches keep saying no change. No votes. I work for the bank. Stupid. What type of threats are those? The gas pumps where your whole paycheck goes. It's been a long time. Since you was having cash flow, so my critics, you can kiss my if you don't like my lyrics, then you can hit the road. Who cares about the polls in this election? A show. If you want to vote for Mitt, I don't give a so the news mags try to use my weak ass so advertisers give them more cash for ads. I don't know what you take me as, but understand the intelligence.
This took a week and a half to do, I think.
It's unbelievable.
It is crazy long and crazy funny.
Wow.
It's Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup. Go to kevinandbean.com if you'd like to see it.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Friday. Good morning, Ralph.
I have been so sick the past couple of days.
I would go through all again just to avoid beer mug.
How dare you? It was as uncomfortable as I've been.
But you were miserable.
So much still. So much better not being around beer mug. I'm back today. I'm feeling better, but just the first hour of this show, I just want to kill him.
It's just not worth it, is it?
No, it's not. Madness. All right, before I get to the showbiz beat, I would like to give you a heads up. I like to do this from time to time. I know there's people out there who would like to be on television. Hell, we live in Los Angeles.
Sure.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson has a new reality show.
Oh.
It's called The Hero. And it is basically looking for people who want to be the next action hero, who can prove that they have what it takes to be a big screen hero or villain. And it's a competition reality show. They will push you with physical and mental challenges. And you have to prove that you are up for it. Apparently, it takes place in an exotic location, too. So I guess it's kind of a survivor deal where they take you someplace cool. If you'd like to participate and have a chance to win a very substantial cash prize, it says here.
Hmm. Doesn't say how much?
Does not say how much.
Very substantial.
But we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, apparently.
All right.
If you'd like to participate, it's happening tomorrow, Saturday. Nope. It's happening Saturday the 13th of this month. 10-13 is the day, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Crunch Gym in West Hollywood. That's 8000 Sunset Boulevard. So not this Saturday, but a week from Saturday on the 13th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Crunch Gym, you can audition for The Rock's new reality show on TNT called The Hero. So if
will Glenda be there?
Glenda will be. She wants to try out.
Is that right?
You have to be 21, apparently, and over in order to participate. But sounds like a cool thing. I can imagine being a series about action stars. It would be some cool challenges you have to do. Probably, like, shoot a gun while you're rappelling down a zip line or something. And, you know,
I hope it doesn't have that one, but
it'll be cool. Shooting targets and whatnot. All right, let's talk about this battle going on the set of American Idol between Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey.
It is on.
If you haven't seen the footage, TMZ.com has it and a couple other places. But it's a hidden camera footage of them on set during one of those auditions with, well, them saying many things back and forth. Mariah Carey calling Nicki Minaj a three-year-old. Nicki Minaj saying she will knock out Mariah Carey. Then saying, I told them not to effing put me up here with her effing highness over there. Well, it got worse yesterday when Mariah talked to Barbara Walters over on The View, saying that more than one person on the set heard Nicki say, if I had a gun, I would shoot the bitch.
Yeah.
Mariah said she is upping her security detail because Nicki is, in her words, unpredictable, and she just can't take a chance. She doesn't feel emotionally comfortable around Nicki, but plans to remain on the show nonetheless.
I don't know anything about this gun thing, whether it happened or not. I really have no way of knowing, but... Is Nicki Minaj, does she seem crazy and unstable to you, or does she seem like somebody who just is wacky for a bit because it makes her popular?
She strikes me as someone who's genuinely loony.
Yeah, who definitely could go there.
Who definitely could fly off the handle easily.
But Mariah Carey is crazy as well.
But I don't think in a dangerous, unstable way. I think more of like a diva, whiny, bitchy way.
Plus a lot of crazy.
So your team effing highness for this one then?
No, I'm team Keith Urban. Yeah, that's the poor bastard I feel bad for. If you watch the video, he's like in between these two.
And he does country music.
He has his hands up. He's like, oh, for F's sake, really? Why would I say yes to this gig?
I love
he's
it.
Like to sit between these two bitches for the next year?
Right. This never happens with Faith Hill and Martina McBride.
No, it doesn't.
Chick fight.
So we'll keep an eye on that. Nicki, by the way, tweeted that that's a lie about the gun thing. She said, hey, y'all, let's just say Nicki said something about a gun. People will believe it because she's a black rapper. See?
Oh,
pulling
the
race
see.
Card. That's what's going on there.
Mariah's half black, by the way. I'm sure she'll counter with that.
Yeah. Gawker.com. If you've been over there lately, you know that they have got a minute posted on their website of a 30-minute Hulk Hogan sex tape that we've been hearing about for some time.
No thanks, brother.
Is that right?
Yeah. It had been rumored to be out there, and we saw, I guess, stills from previous websites. But Gawker said they received a burned DVD copy of the 30-minute Hulk Hogan sex tape from an anonymous source. They've posted a minute-long edit of the sex tape. It's not safe for work, but it's not too graphic, actually. And it's basically the Hulkster with what appears to be his best friend's wife.
Oh. Okay. All right.
With his best friend's permission. At the beginning of the tape, you hear him having a conversation with
dear.
What people are speculating is the DJ known as Bubba the Love Sponge. Are you familiar with Bubba?
Oh, I hate that
heard
guy
of,
so
yeah.
much.
He is Hulk Hogan's best friend.
Okay.
And you hear them having a conversation, the three of them. He's off camera. Bubba's off camera. And then Hulk has sex with Bubba's now ex-wife, at the time, though, wife.
Is Bubba the one filming it, Ralph?
It is an in-the-corner security cam sort of static shot. So it looks as if there was a camera set in the room. And
but you can hear his voice, the negotiation, the whole deal.
That negotiation. They say he's like, I'm going to be in my office. You two do your thing. Have a good time. And he walks out. And then the Hulkster and Mrs. Bubba proceed to make sweet, sweet love. But it's not really sweet, sweet love because it's Hulk basically saying, oh, man, I just had a bunch of sushi.
Oh, I feel fat. Oh,
really?
I feel like I've just been on a roller coaster. I don't feel so good.
Yeah, it's really?
It's him talking about how the raw fish isn't settling so well with him.
Apparently, what he had for dinner is not so good either.
So can we add that to some of the least sexy celebrity sex tapes of all time?
Absolutely.
Along with R. Kelly and Gene Simmons?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I heard you guys talking about Hoopa Gangnam Style.
Yep. Sure.
Poor Psy.
Why poor Psy?
Couldn't make it to number one this week. Trying to capture the top slot, but couldn't get there.
How high did he go?
Two.
What's holding him out?
As we look at the Billboard Hot 100, Maroon 5's One More Night is the number one song in the land. Then Gangnam Style was second. Some Nights by Fun Period. Third. We Are Never, Ever, Ever, Ever Getting Back Together by Taylor Swift was fourth.
Who?
And then, I'm sorry, Tadop Swindler.
Thank you.
And then Blow Me.
Huh?
One Last Kiss by Pink is fifth on the list. While we're talking about new songs, do we have time really quick?
Yeah, sure.
The new Bond theme officially dropped this morning in London at 12.07 a.m.
Okay.
You know why, Kevin?
No.
What's 12.07 in military time, my friend?
1709? Huh?
1709?
What? Hold on.
What, Lisa?
What?
Double what?
1709?
Oh.
1207?
I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But
that wouldn't be 17 either, would it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
It would be 007, of course, is when they were going to release that. But it was leaked online a little earlier.
It was a joke, Ralph.
Oh, okay. It was very funny.
He knew.
That was a joke. That was very funny.
It wasn't.
But it leaked a little bit early. We do have it online. You can check it out. But here's a little taste if you haven't had a chance to go online and hear yet. It's the new Adele song, Skyfall, from the upcoming James Bond movie, and it is very classic James Bond theme.
Let the sky fall.
What a great voice she has.
Yeah.
She does.
That sounds good.
Somebody get Agent 1709 on the phone. We need him now.
I'm 1709. License to confuse.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Clive Barker is 60 years old.
Right, we have to go do the breakfast. Come on now.
Actor Guy Pearce is 45. Actress Josie Bissett from Melrose Place and Secret Life of the American Teenager is 42. Grant Hill, L.A. Clippers guard, is 40 years old. Jesse Eisenberg is 29. And Kate Winslet celebrates her 37th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Black Keys.
K-Rock.
Good morning.
Test, test, test. Hey, people.
Hey, you guys. It's us. He's Kevin. He's Bean. What do you guys think of the Red Bull Soundspace at K-Rock so far? Yeah, there's no one in this room, Kevin, that is more than 25 feet away from our guests of honor today.
That's true. So no spitting, no sweating, especially you, dude. Especially you. You're very sweaty. Please move away.
We're very excited to welcome our latest guest to the Breakfast With series and also the Red Bull Soundspace here at K-Rock from Akron, Ohio. Give it up for the Black Keys. That is good. Come on with the come on. Morning, you guys. Can you hear us? How are you?
How are you doing?
Good. Welcome. So, a little smaller room than Staples Center this weekend, I guess, but you guys play all sorts of gigs. You play rooms this size from time to time still, right?
Yeah, every once in a while we play a place like this, yeah, for sure.
Gets very hot, gets very sweaty. We're going to see some of that here this morning?
I hope so.
We're all going to need another shower after this.
Tonight, tomorrow night, Staples Center, Monday, Honda Center. This is a real treat to be in this limited audience with one of the biggest rock bands in the world. The Black Keys are here. We're going to be taking your questions throughout the morning. We've got a few of our own, and the boys are going to be playing. And I think we're going to get started with some music right now.
Thank you.
How about that? That's ridiculous. That just happened. The Black Keys were having breakfast. We'll be right back on the world famous K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show's Breakfast with the Black Keys.
The world famous K-Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. It's Breakfast with the Black Keys here on the world famous K-Rock. If you're just tuning in, you're going to be very sad to know what you missed, because two unbelievable performances from the band here to get us going. Welcome, you guys. Great to see you again.
Thanks for
having
us.
Thanks for having us.
You know, I was thinking about you guys today, earlier as we were preparing for this, and I was thinking, a kind of band that plays the music that you play can't expect success, right? Nobody goes and plays the kind of music you play and go, oh, this is going to set the world on fire. Every day must be a surprise for you as to how popular you are.
Yeah, it is. It's every year, something crazy, just crazier happens every week, really.
But not the first 5 years. That was a bit of a grind, right?
I don't understand what's not commercial about our piano-driven Christmas music.
I just saw an interview of you guys about your first gig where you made $10. Would you mind telling us that? Because, wouldn't you rather get nothing?
Well, no, we made nothing the second gig.
Yeah, oh, okay.
They said you guys did great, and they handed us $10, and they gave us a gig 2 weeks later, and we came back, and we played that one, and we didn't get paid anything.
Were you worse, or what happened? Why did you not get the $10?
I couldn't tell you.
Wow.
There was no one there, that's why.
Oh, okay.
What keeps you going in the early years when you're making the records in your basement and you're playing to small crowds, and it's got to be tough sledding, and I'm sure at that point you still have the pressure from friends and family saying, seriously, guys, it's a nice hobby, but get a job, right? What's the motivation to keep going back then?
Rent.
Rent?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think we kind of... We both dropped out of school, and we didn't really have any other options other than to play music.
Yeah, I mean, the small amount of money that we were making was better than making the same amount of money working at, like, McDonald's, you know?
Sure.
At least you were doing something you enjoyed.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
These moments that surprise you, I mean, when you win Grammys and when you're, on the cover of Rolling Stone and when you're selling out Madison Square Garden, you just call each other up and go, you're not going to believe what just happened.
I mean, it's strange. This year has been strange.
Yeah. We don't really... It's hard to even talk. I mean, we were just on stage with Neil Young last week in Central Park. I mean, it's something like that happens every... It's just crazy. At this point, we don't really know. It feels like we're on an alternate universe or something.
How did the gig go with Neil Young? That must have been a fantastic opportunity for you guys.
It was cool. He came in and he said, you guys sounded great from my hotel room. He was in his hotel room while we were playing.
While that was happening, I was on stage with Wilford Brimley way downtown.
Yeah. You did jump on stage for the encore, though, right? You're actually on a stage playing with Neil Young for Rockin' the Free World, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. He stepped on my foot while he was soloing.
Oh, there you go. But he can do that, right?
He had tennis shoes on. It didn't hurt.
Plus, he's Neil Young.
And he's Neil Young also.
What are you going to say? I know that you guys are also friends with Billy Gibbons, the great Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. Do you just hope to run into these people, or are you the type who would call somebody that you're a fan of and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'd love to meet you?
No, I don't think we'd ever do that. Maybe Jared from Subway, we might call him.
We ran into him in the airport, though, so we didn't have to call him.
You ran into him in an airport?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we met him.
He had a Virginia Tech sweatshirt on, remember that?
Yeah.
Virginia Tech fan.
Black Keys are here. We're doing breakfast on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. We're getting to your questions here in just a few minutes. News announced just this week is that you're going to be headlining the Lollapaloozas down in South America.
Yeah.
Chile and Brazil, is that right?
Chile's and Brazil, yeah.
Chile's.
And
have you done any foreign Lollapaloozas before, and are they any different from ours?
We've never played in South America before.
Oh, wow.
It'll be our
never.
First time. Yeah, we play Mexico City in a couple of weeks. It's going to be our first show ever south of the border.
And I hope you'll be translating all of your songs in Espanol.
Sí.
Good enough. Fantastic. How about some more music? Anybody? Let's hear some more music from the Black Keys. We are doing breakfast on the world famous K-Rock.
With the Black Keys, we will be right back on the world famous K-Rock. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Breakfast with the Black Keys. I want to welcome everybody tuning in on the world famous K-Rock and those who are listening and watching around the world today. Turns out the Black Keys have fans on every continent, and everybody is streaming this and watching it at krock.com right now. So it's a real treat to have these guys in the studio. We got a bunch more questions, including some from the audience. Dave, why don't we start with some of our listeners that are here who wrote down their questions for the Keys. Who do you got?
Sounds good. I got Darcy here.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Darcy.
Hello.
My first question for you is, how did it feel the first time you heard your song on K-Rock?
That was...
Rental car?
We were in town for the Grammys 2 years ago. That's when we heard it first time.
Yeah, that's right.
What a memory. Well done, Pat. How about the first time you ever heard any of your songs on any radio station?
Well, the first time I ever heard a song of ours was... We were driving through the middle of Oregon, middle of nowhere, and Your Touch came on. And it lasted like maybe 10 seconds. And then I kind of am still not sure if I actually heard it or not. Why it was playing there.
It was fading out. It was done.
I guess we were really popular in Klamath Falls for a while, early on.
Are they still with you or have you lost them?
We lost them.
Sad. All right. Great question, Darcy. Who's next, Dave?
We got Joe. How's it going?
Hey.
Which superhero would you guys fight, and what would your villain name be?
We didn't prepare. Yep. We didn't prepare for this.
You could kill with the power of rock.
What's that?
You could kill with the power of rock. You've got that at your fingertips.
I don't. Yeah, maybe Plastic Man. Because
Plastic Man.
Yeah.
Hey, he wasn't prepared.
Hey, that's a Fantastic Four guy. He was just like an old guy that could stretch his arms.
It's Elastic Dude. Stretch Man. What's his name?
Plastic Man.
Plastic Man. All right.
90% recycled.
Mr. Fantastic. Oh, okay. Whoops.
There you go.
We had the...
It's Plastic Man.
We had the bootleg comics. They were
See, there you
Plastic
go.
Man where I grew up.
They have the cooler version. Yeah. Thank you for the question. Let me ask a couple questions about El Camino, which was the most recent Black Keys record that came out, about 10 months ago or so. We gave away the vehicle on the front of that album cover, the famous touring van for the Black Keys here at K-Rock. We gave that away a few months ago.
Yep.
I want to hear a little bit about the history of that vehicle. How many miles did it have on it, if you remember, when you guys gave it up?
I think it had 178,000. And when we bought it, it had, I
12,000. At 12,000 we bought it.
And you had all your equipment in it.
I think it had like 60,000. We put like 120,000 miles on it.
Now, did you guys, I mean, was it a small enough operation that it was the two of you guys and maybe a couple of other guys in a van driving across the country?
It was just the two of us.
Just the two of you?
For how long?
Yeah, so for a year and a half maybe. And Pat's brother would come along with us every once in a while just to...
To not be able to get into
the
shows.
To not help us at all.
Yeah, no.
Was he too young to get in?
Yeah, he wasn't old enough to get into some of the shows.
Yeah, he just hung out outside like the Casbah and got made fun of.
But he, for some reason, he knew more people in cities than we did. Yeah. He had more friends than we did.
Was there sleeping in the van?
Yeah.
All the time.
So the van was the hotel room?
The van was the hotel, and we'd sleep in rest areas, which are awesome.
Really They're very safe. Nice.
Yeah, we would make
just
like
two dudes hanging out in rest areas.
Nothing suspicious about that at all.
I have seen some weird stuff at rest areas.
Yeah,
by
Pat
the way,
got really scared one time going into the bathroom.
What happened, Pat?
I can't talk about
what
it.
What happened?
You brought it up.
Seriously, I really got scared.
What happened?
Okay, my brother Mike and I actually walked in to and Dan was asleep, and there was a guy walking out.
Yeah.
Who looked really kind of scary.
Right.
And then there was a guy in there with his pants down.
Okay.
That's what we thought.
I think I see.
Who asked? I told you.
See, who says it's not glamorous being a rock star?
That's right.
Right? Do you guys hate Michael Bublé because he kept that album out of number one?
That's not the only reason, but...
But it makes him a dick, though, right?
It's one of them.
That was definitely a bummer.
Black Keys are here. We're having breakfast with the band here on the world-famous K-Rock. Don't forget, they're playing the Staples Center tonight. Tegan and Sarah opening. Same show tomorrow night at Staples Center. I hear there may still be a few seats available for tomorrow night's show if you want to see the Black Keys do their full set on a big stage. And then Monday at the Honda Center. You guys want some more music?
Yeah!
Let's do it.
Breakfast with the Black Keys.
Submarines, operator, please put me back on the line. I told my girl I'd be back, operator, please. This is wrecking my mind. Oh, can it be? Voices calling me, they get lost and out of time. I should have seen it glow, but everybody knows that a broken heart is blind. That a broken heart is blind. Disappear to the back of my mind. Oh, can it be? The voices calling me, they get lost and out of time. I should have seen it glow, but everybody knows that a broken
How about that?
Good morning. That's how you want to start your day right there. It's Breakfast with the Black Keys. More in a minute on the world famous K-Rock.
This is the world famous K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with the Black Keys.
We are back. It's Breakfast with the Black Keys here on the world famous K-Rock and K-Rock.com. Again, Staples Center tonight, tomorrow night, Honda Center on Monday. Dave, the King of Mexico, in the audience with more listeners, with more questions, because that's what we do in the Breakfast Series.
I got Brianna here.
First of all, before Brianna, guy without the shirt. No one gave you permission to take off the shirt. Seriously.
That's our manager.
That's your manager? It doesn't matter. Put on your shirt. All right.
I got Brianna.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Where's your favorite place to play, and what's the best show you've had?
I don't know. We played a show in Portland, Maine this year. I think that was our best show of the year.
That was the best show.
Yeah.
Is the audience. Wherever the audience is the best. It doesn't matter where we are. But we played Portland, Maine, and they were just like, I don't know, they were going ape bananas.
They were
crazy.
Really bored this winter, I think.
Yeah.
Do you have the other part of Brianna's question? Are there some venues that you hit from time to time around the country that you're just excited to play? Like, some people love Red Rock. Some people love, stadiums. What? Any particular one you like?
Well, we are excited about playing Chili's coming up.
Chili's, yeah. It's Chili's. I think it is Chili, the country.
Well, it's cool. We're playing at a Staples this weekend.
I think that's Staples Center. Might be confused.
We're playing Office Max next weekend.
All right, Dave, who's next, please?
I got Casey here.
Just to follow up on that, one of the places I love seeing shows is Santa Barbara Bowl, and that show the other night was incredible. So,
Thank you.
My question is, how is working with Danger Mouse influenced sort of the sound of your music?
Well, I mean, he was the first person we ever let in with us in the studio and trusted completely, So he's just like having a third person that we trust in the room to bounce ideas off of. I don't know. I mean, we're all growing and changing every year that we make a record, and it was just great having him around because, we respect him and we trust his taste so much. Great guy too.
The house, Patrick, that where you guys made the first few records in the basement, is that still your folks' house? They still live there?
No, that was a rental house.
It was a rental.
I lived in. Yeah.
They put a plaque up or anything like that, or do the people living in it now even know about it? It's part in rock and roll history.
I think it's for sale for about $8,000 right now. If anybody's interested.
It was $7,000 before they found out you guys made the album.
Yeah, right. Actually, it was $9,000.
Went down $1,000.
Was that a tough decision to you weren't giving up control, you still had veto, but was it something you guys talked about a lot as, hey, do we even want to bring somebody else in on this? Because it seems to be working.
Up until that point, we'd never had anyone else play on a record. We'd never used a producer. We'd never actually recorded in a proper studio. And so when we made Attack and Release, we just decided to try all those things at once. And I think it was really good for us in the end. Brian was the right guy for us because he just... We got along, and it just worked great.
Speaking of other musicians, would you introduce the talented guys that are here with you today?
Yeah, this is our friend Gus on the bass here.
Hey, Gus.
John's playing the keyboards and the guitar here.
You guys sound great. And I guess there's already talk of another new Black Keys record as early as next year, 2013, and that's something you'll work with Danger Mouse again on, I understand, right?
Deadmau5.
Right. Deadmau5?
No, I don't know. We're going to start it on our own and see what happens, just kind of see what we come up with, just the two of us, which is, how we've done most of our albums.
Sure.
The two of you talk about recording an album. It sounds like an afternoon's work. It sounds like, I think at one point you said you can do a song a day.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Why has that become crazy?
Because no one else does that.
It just...
Well, it takes 5 days for our engineers to auto-tune it.
And then Bieber's got to email you his vocals.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone else can write that fast. I just don't think they physically can.
You literally have recorded an entire album in a day, though. I mean, you understand that's not the norm, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Listen, we're happy to have new Black Keys albums anytime, once a week, it's fine.
The Sonics recorded their records in a day.
Sure, it can be done, yeah. Do you guys have to stop what you're doing and then start writing songs, or have you been compiling little ideas for songs along the way this whole year?
Our brains kind of shut down when we're on tour. So,
so you're going to have to, at some point, call the tour. Because you'd be able to tour forever if you wanted to.
Yeah, we have to like plan for it and really block out some time. And a lot of people we hear like right when they're on doing sound check and stuff like that, but we can't do that. We like to be completely isolated, and we just don't like messing up in front of people. We're really insecure.
You don't want them to see your mistakes?
Yeah.
It's really emotional for us when we're writing music, so there's a lot of Kleenex.
A lot of crying?
Yeah, a lot of crying.
Sure, you don't
Who
want
doesn't believe a word out of
like
Pat's
I'm
mouth
sweating,
all day?
I'm crying.
You do have a blush there.
It's just not sweat. It's this is
One
tears.
More question from the audience, King. Who's next?
We got Melissa.
This question is for Patrick. Does your son really smell like ranch dressing?
My son smells like nothing because it doesn't exist.
But the kid in the video, he's got that ranch dressing scent.
My whole family smells like ranch dressing.
So if you had a kid, he would smell like that.
Actually, no, I wouldn't let him eat it. Eat that stuff. I'd make him eat like cheese puffs and stuff to get some protein in him.
Healthy diet.
You're the right guy. You're the right guy. By the way, congratulations, Patrick, newlywed just a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
Well done. I'm not sure my wife would have thought I was taking it seriously if I had MacGruber doing the ceremony, but it worked for you. So Will Forte did the ceremony, right?
That's right.
That's awesome.
I know.
Super fun.
It was.
Black Keys are here. It's breakfast here on the Kevin Beach Show on the world-famous K-Rock. I think that we got time for a couple more songs. What do you guys think?
It is Breakfast with the Black Keys.
Time in the way
Breakfast with the Black Keys. How about one more song? To Red Bull for sponsoring us today in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Thanks to you for coming out. Thank you, guys. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock. Thanks again to the Black Keys for doing the breakfast. That was fantastic.
Those guys are cool, right?
They are.
And so talented. Wow. Super, super fun. We'll have some highlights of that up at KROQ.com if you want to revisit it or missed it this time around. Omar has joined us in studio. Hi, DJ Omar Khan.
Hey, what's happening?
It's been a long time since I've seen this kind of cartoon hate out of Omar.
Oh, God, I hate this woman so much.
We wanted to have him in to talk about this woman who's a Wisconsin television reporter. Her name is Jennifer Livingston. And by the way, this has nothing to do with the story, but by coincidence, she has a famous brother, the actor Ron Livingston.
No one
cares. Who's been in everything from Office Space to Band of Brothers. Just by coincidence, she happens to have a celebrity brother.
Is he fat, too?
He's not fat.
He's not.
She is kind of fat, and she has this viral video out because she kind of dressed down a viewer that wrote a letter to her at the TV station saying, "Hey, you're fat." And I think we have some audio from that, and then we will discuss.
On Friday, I received the following email from a lacrosse man with the subject line, "Community Responsibility," and it reads as follows.
First of all, you do not want to make a fat woman mad.
I know, right?
And you can tell she
is. Your attitude,
you can already tell the madness coming through the fat.
Hi, Jennifer. It's unusual that I see your morning show, but I did so for a very short time today. I was surprised indeed to witness that your physical condition hasn't improved for many years. Surely you don't consider yourself a suitable example for this community's young people, girls in particular. Obesity is one of the worst choices a person can make and one of the most dangerous habits to maintain. I leave you this note hoping that you'll reconsider your responsibility as a local public personality to present and promote a healthy lifestyle.
Okay, stop now, it those right there. Of us. Stop it right there. What kind of a douchebag writes a letter to somebody on TV and says, hey, I just want to remind you that you're fat?
Some dude that writes strongly worded letters all the time.
Yeah.
The type of person that does that.
One of your people?
No, I'm serious. Look,
but he didn't just say you're fat. That would have been better. Had he just said, Jennifer, you're fat, Tim. Yeah.
But he said
it's a community standard. Yeah. Do girls look up to you? Blah,
yes,
blah, blah.
We need more
health.
Skinny girls. He really mentioned skinny health. Girls with giant boobs TV as our representative for young girls.
Thank
That's
you, Lisa.
That's what we need.
Yes.
Why are they on my TV?
No, I mean, my point is, and I'm a little bit playing devil's advocate here because I could see everybody's united against this woman, but I mean, is his point that fat women shouldn't be on TV or fat people shouldn't be on television? Is that where he's coming from?
His point is, if you're going to put yourself out there on TV as a role model,
why
you should try to be.
Model?
Well, I don't, because she's on TV.
So anyone on TV is a role model.
Well, I imagine that's what a lot of people believe. I don't know that I'm a big fan of that, but.
I don't know why he couldn't use it as a teaching tool and just go, don't be her.
Yeah, I don't think young girls are going, yay, I want to be fat. That's dumb.
Let's see what Jennifer Livingston, or as Omar has called her all week long, fatty, fat, fat, fat. Let's see how she responds to this letter.
Oh, very well. You can tell she's not angry.
Now, those of us in the media, we get a healthy dose of critiques from our viewers throughout the year, and we realize that it comes with having a job in the public eye. But this email was more than that. While I tried my best to laugh off the very hurtful attack on my appearance, my colleagues could not do the same, especially my husband, our 6 and 10 anchor, Mike Thompson.
Oh, she's dating the other anchor.
Uh-huh. Her husband.
Her Mary husband.
Yeah. Did she eat her tears away, does she say?
She did not say. Hers and his.
Mike posted this email on his WKBT Facebook page, and what happened next has been truly inspiring. Hundreds and hundreds of people have taken the time out of their day to not only lift my spirits,
but drop off food.
Lifting her spirits, by the way, it's really hard to do.
That attacks like this are not okay. Now, we're going to have more on that in just a second. But first, the truth is, I am overweight.
All right.
Right. She knows it. Of course she knows it.
All right.
She has to go out and buy size 14 clothes or whatever.
Size 24 clothes.
So case closed.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's it.
Well,
she is fat.
I know, but why did he feel the need to tell her that?
Because she continued being fat and he was disappointed.
You could call me fat. And yes, even obese.
Okay, even obese!
Okay, but again, the point is, why write an attack letter to somebody because of their weight? Why?
I don't know.
I'm not a letter writer.
I'm not a letter writer.
Yeah, neither am I.
And you're the only letter writer amongst us, so.
I know, but I understand why that would tick her off. I really do. Like, what business is it of his whether she's fat or not?
He cannot watch, whatever.
Right. I understand. I mean, I don't know that she made the smartest move in the world by bringing this on the TV. She could have just quietly, you know, torn the letter up and thrown it away or whatever.
Right.
But it certainly has caused a discussion about if writing a letter to a fat person is bullying, which is what it sounds like she's saying it is.
She sounds fat.
All right, sorry, back to the tape.
On a doctor's chart.
So on a doctor's chart, she's saying she is obese.
Yeah, she knows it.
Get off my TV.
But to the person who wrote me that letter, do you think I don't know that? That your cruel words are pointing out something that I don't see?
Then hop on treadmill.
You don't know me.
I know that you spend too much time with your mouth open eating food. That I know.
You are not a friend of mine.
Nope.
You are not a part of my family, and you have admitted that you don't watch this show. So you know nothing about me but what you see on the outside. And I am much more than a number on a scale.
There's no scale that goes up
and
that big.
Here is where I want all of us to learn something from this.
Okay, now this is the part where it really starts bugging me.
Hey, it's a preachy. Teaching moment.
This is the part teaching that bugs me.
Yeah.
This is the part that bugs me because she's like, oh, let's all learn a lesson. Now I'm going to be a teacher. F you. Your feelings are hurt because you're fat. Just admit that.
But you're a parent. Don't you take opportunities like this to say to your kids, there are ways to treat people and there are ways to not treat people? Isn't this a teachable moment? Is she that wrong when she says that?
She is not doing this to teach. She's on TV, she's fat, her feelings are hurt, and she's lashing out at a guy.
But if he's saying to her, you're a role model. I only care about
other people now. Let's have a learning moment. BS. She got her feelings hurt because she's fat and she got called on it.
I think she's addressing the fact that if he says she's a role model, then she's like, okay, I'm a role model. Now I'm going to tell you what you should have done, how you should approach this.
Shh, less from you.
If you didn't already know, October is National Anti-Bullying Month, and this is a problem. Now, I am a grown woman, and luckily for me, I have a very thick skin.
Very, very thick.
Literally, as that email pointed out, and otherwise. And that man's words mean nothing to me. But what really angers me...
I'm sorry, wait a minute. It means nothing to you, so you're doing a whole segment on it.
About this is there are children who don't know better, who get emails as critical as the one I received, or in many cases even worse, each and every day. The internet has become a weapon. Our schools have become a battleground. And this behavior is learned. It is passed down from people like the man who wrote me that email. If you are at home and you are talking about the fat news lady, guess what? Your children are probably going to go to school and call someone fat. We need to teach our kids how to be kind, not critical, and we need to do that by example. So many of you have come to my defense over the past 4 days. I am literally overwhelmed by your words. I will never be able to thank you enough for your words of support.
Hey, Kevin?
Yeah.
This woman talks more than she eats.
Seriously.
How long does this segment need to be?
Well, there's still another 35 seconds, but I've heard enough.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to hear where the listeners weigh in, no pun intended, weigh in on this one at 1-800-520-1067.
Here's my whole thing.
What's your basic complaint with her? Do you not think she should have brought this on the air, or do you just don't? She brought it on the air fine, but you don't approve of what she's saying. You don't agree with her.
Here's my whole thing. That email was not what she's saying that email was. That guy was not just saying...
He wasn't bullying. He wasn't attacking.
Fat,
no.
You're ugly. Like it was written from a 9-year-old. He said, you're on TV. You're a role model. It's an unhealthy choice. And you should be a role model for healthier choices. He was not just bullying like she's saying he was bullying.
But I think it's absurd to suggest that no one deserves to be on television unless they're skinny. Because there are lots of people who are really good in journalism who deserve to have a job on television because of what they have to say, because of the content of what they have to say, not what they look like.
Right, but she's exceptionally fat. Wait a minute. I'm not joking.
No,
she's exceptionally fat. For a person on TV, listen, I'm the first person to say the girls that are too skinny are not attractive. They look like they need to eat. They need to put on some weight. That's not attractive. But this is the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And that's the one where they have to reinforce the stage so she can do the news.
She's not that big.
She's
big. There's definite health issues that she's having. Oh, yeah.
No, but she's not. You don't have to reinforce the stage. She doesn't break chairs or
that
toilets.
That was an exaggeration.
How do you know?
She doesn't have to buy two seats in the place.
Well, I didn't say she had to buy two seats, but I would
I will tell you, though, there's no way this woman gets hired in a big city. No way. There's a reason she's on in Wisconsin. She would not be. She'd never be on the news here. I'll tell you that.
Right. But a lot of the people here, again, that's the other end of the spectrum. They're too skinny. There's got to be a happy medium, right? It doesn't have to be 90 pounds or 390 pounds.
But my point is, so what if she's fat and she's on TV doing the news? That's my point. So what?
And my point is,
it's her problem.
That guy pointed it out in a very, I thought, mature way. It would have been really easy for him to be less mature about it.
But was there any reason for him to point that out as if she didn't know it? What did he write in that letter that she wasn't already aware of? She knows she's fat and she knows she's on TV. If that was the extent of his letter, what's the point of that?
I don't know. I don't write letters, but I imagine it was because he said at one point, you haven't changed in many years. So he must have seen her before and then thought, well, obviously, if she cares about it, she's going to work on it.
He didn't watch it for 10 years. That's the other part that probably annoyed her. He didn't watch it for 5 or 10 years, and he happened to flip through and thought, oh, I got to write a letter to her. She's not any thinner.
All right. We have to take a break, but we want to hear from you now. 1-800-520-1067. What do you think? Are you going to stick up for her, or do you want to join Omar and Kevin and get yourself some torches and start marching to Wisconsin to kill this woman because she's fat?
Let's you know that word. Let's over-dramatize that like this woman did, Bean. Let's do that.
We'll take your calls next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Cousin Sal joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show with his picks for the NFL weekend. I think he was 3-0 last weekend, by the way. So if you're looking to make a little money on football this weekend, we'll help you out with that. Right now, we're talking about newscaster Jennifer Livingston.
She's fat.
All right, honey. We'll do it after you. She's become a viral video sensation. She responded to a letter from an occasional viewer that pointed out that she's overweight. And she just went on a rampage for about 4 or 5 minutes responding to this guy, basically dressing him down for writing the letter and a giant F you to him and everyone like him. So we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 to find out what you think about the situation. Who's first?
We're talking about the situation. Let's talk to Aaliyah first. Hello, Aaliyah.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there.
Hi, what do you think about this?
I'm excited to talk to you guys.
We're excited to talk to you as well. Tell us what you think.
As long as you're not fat.
No, I'm not, but I have been bullied before, and I just think that there's just this really disturbing double standard when it comes to men and women always having to be skinny and pretty, and men, if this was a male newscaster, this would have never even become an issue.
Well,
that's probably
true.
She
wouldn't have made it one, but you're totally right that it's a double standard.
Yeah, it's not fair. I mean, think about the male newscasters that you see on the news. I mean, in LA, some of them are hot, but most of them nationwide are not.
Guys, I can't think of any fat male newscasters. I can't think of any right now. I'm running through my mind right now of all the people that I watch on TV. I can't think of any guys that are fat on television.
Not necessarily fat. Maybe
or other women. By the way, or other women. I mean, when you see this woman, she does stand out as fatter than you've seen anywhere else.
The only one I've seen close to her is Candy Crowley, who's been on CNN for 25 years or something like that. And she's about this size, but she also has, you know, a tremendous track record and a, you know, great political background and the whole deal. But so do you think that you think she's overreacting to this, or you think it's reasonable what she said or what?
No, I think it's 100% justified, everything she said. I mean, I thought it was really, really cool, like the way that she came out and said.
But the part that we didn't play where she starts saying, so kids, if you've had bullies about the color of your skin or your sexual preference or whatever, it's like, you know what, that's taking it too far because most people choose to be fat or choose not to be skinny or in shape, healthy.
Yeah, but you can't walk around town pointing fingers and saying, you know, walking up to somebody and say, you're fat, you're ugly, you're whatever.
Agreed.
That's not the way society works.
Agreed, but this wasn't a girl on the street. She was on the news. Okay, thank you.
Aaliyah, appreciate the call. Let's go to a different perspective now, and let's go to Ralph. Ralph is on line 3. Oh, is this our Ralph? Because this sounds like it could be our Ralph. Hey, Ralph.
Hello, Kevin and me, Lisa Mary.
Hi there.
Okay, my perspective is this. Instead of sitting there complaining and wasting that time during that segment, she could have been drawing up a diet and exercise program.
Okay.
Yep. Hop on a treadmill. Stock up on some Slim Fast. Join Jenny Craig.
Why does a person on TV reading the news have to be thin? Answer that question for me, Ralph.
But wait a minute. Let's not say thin. Let's say healthy. Let's say average,
normal,
even normal.
But it's still a good question.
Just not fat.
Why does it matter if the person on the TV reading the news is fat? Why would it matter to one single viewer?
It's the laws of attraction.
Well, watch the news to get turned on.
Well, you're tuning in for hotties, right?
I'll tell you something. The news, I don't watch the news, but in the past 5 years, it has all become all supermodels.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's true. And by the way, Fox News is leading the charge on that. They have unbelievably hot women working on Fox News.
Yes, no question.
It's crazy. All right, we don't have a lot of time here. Let's go to Annie real quick on line 6.
All right.
She's glad that she directed the speech in the bullying direction and tried to make it a lesson for kids, I think. Right, Annie?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I'm actually a middle school teacher, and I see my students go through this junk all the time, every day. And my perspective is, so the newscaster's fat. Who cares? You know, if people could call in and they could say, you're fat. Oh, you're old. Oh, you're punchy around the middle. Oh, you're not real attractive. Honestly, who cares? What kind of business is it of theirs?
Let me ask you this, teacher. Jennifer says in her response on the television station, she says, I bet the guy who wrote the letter pointing out that I'm fat is sending that message to his kids. He's perpetuating that it's okay to make fun of people because of their weight. Is that how it happens with kids? They learn it from other people, including their parents, right?
Actually, yes, it does. They learn it from their parents. Their parents are the very first ones.
We are doing our part to earn you some money every Friday here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We catch up with Jimmy Kimmel's real-life cousin, Cousin Sal, who joins us on the phone. Of course, he's a Cowboys fan, and we'll hold that against him, too. Hey, Sal, what's going on, man?
What's happening, fellas?
What's happening is I'm still laughing at Tony Romo with five interceptions Monday night. I thought of you every single pick, my friend.
Oh, my God. I still have an empty, empty feeling inside. Here's what I'm going to blame, though, because I always defend Romo. And, you know, last week Dallas opened the Victoria's Secret in the new stadium. And
yep.
I'm not
yes.
even kidding. Did you hear about that?
We did. Victoria's Secret Pink yeah. is the name of the store, right.
Yes, that's what it is. And combine that with the fact that, you know, Romo's forced to wear pink to support breast cancer awareness. Of course you're going to throw like a girl. There's no avoiding it.
But, Sal, that counts for two picks. What about the other three?
I'm saying it's human nature. He's all pinked out. If you feed him Alpo, he's going to start sniffing his genitalia in the huddle. There's no way around it.
All right.
That's my pick right there.
Right. It is certainly tough to be a Cowboys fan, that's for sure. But it has not impacted how great you've been doing on your picks. I mean, I haven't been keeping a week-to-week count, but I know, for instance, last week you came on the Kevin DeBean Show and gave our listeners three winners, Sal.
I've been doing that. Let me ask you. You guys just finished up that Black Eyed Keys breakfast, right?
Yeah, the Black Keys. Right.
Yeah. Whatever. Don't argue. Did you eat lobster omelets with unlimited mimosas? I'm not sure. Did you listen to me? If you had listened to me, you'd be living the high life right now. 3-0. I don't think I've had one losing week with you guys because of that stupid Seattle Green Bay call. But otherwise, I'm on fire and I'm going to keep it going. This is probably just sour grapes with the Bears, but we're going to turn it into really cheap wine. I'm playing the hangover theory here. The Bears had a big win on Monday. They're coming off a short week. They travel to Dallas and back to Chicago and back to Jacksonville. Listen, frequent flyer miles don't translate to points on the scoreboard. If you learn one thing from me, let it be that. The Jaguars always have a where the hell did that come from game, one a year. I like a close, low-scoring game. Maurice Jones-Drew keeps the Bears honest. 17-14. Take the Jags plus 6 points. It's too many.
All right. Okay. Wow, that's a very exciting pick. All right, next up, you're talking Vikings-Titans. What's the deal there?
Yeah. This is pretty boring, too. I'm sorry, but we're trying to make money here. And every week it seems like an upstart team is given a soft Vegas line and gets slapped around for it. Last week, everyone loved the Cardinals giving 6 points to the Dolphins. 6 points. They're not ready to give that many points at home, and the Dolphins kept it close. I like it the same this week. Everyone likes the Vikings. They beat the Lions by 2 return touchdowns. I'm not entirely impressed with them on offense. Their quarterback Ponder's banged up. Let's take the Titans plus 5.5. They'll win a close one. Again, low scoring, 20-19 in Minneapolis.
You know, the spread makes all the difference in the world, and that's why Sal's picks are so valuable to us, because you're able to kind of see through what the linesmen or what the odds makers are saying. Next up, we've got Chargers-Saints for this weekend.
Guys, I told you, back when I played NFL football...
You never played.
I'm still wearing the eye black and a size small jock. Don't tell me I never played. But you don't want to go 0-5. That's for sure. And these Saints, they're really scrambling, and I want to take them over the Chargers, but I can't do it. They're still an incomplete team, and there's Philip Rivers for the Chargers that has a lot to prove. The fans are still cursing San Diego management for letting Drew Brees go in favor of Rivers. I say the Lightning bolts light it up. They're underdogs. Take the 3.5 to the bank. Big, big scoring game. Chargers 34, Saints 30. Good Sunday nighter.
This country has finally gotten over the tragedy of Katrina, because nobody seems to be all that sad that the Saints are 0-4, and they certainly would have been a couple of years ago, Sal.
Yes, you're right. They need a new storm. You're right.
All right,
I'm not suggesting that.
I'm putting every penny I have on these picks. I hope it comes through.
All right, fellas, do it.
Thank you, guys. You can follow Sal on Twitter, and you should at The Cousin Sal. Look for him on his cousin Jimmy Kimmel's Late Night Show. And, of course, you can read an expanded version of the NFL picks and so much more at grantland.com. Sal, have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks for checking in.
Good time.
Ralph, you're going to love so much the lady we're going to talk to next, coming up after the top of the hour, who has created a Kevening sculpture.
I've heard rumors of the effect.
So beautiful and fit for a museum. We put it in the Kevin Bean gallery of Kevening photos.
Wow.
But we're going to talk to her coming up next about this genius inspiration she had. That's on the way.
Kevin Smith has promised me a Kevening photo this weekend as well.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. That's great.
And I was afraid this was dying down.
No, don't be ridiculous. Okay. It's still sweeping the nation.
Thank God.
Right now, though, we're happy to say Ralph Garman is back after a couple of sick days. He's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday Kevin DeBean Show.
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I did want to read this quick email, speaking of Kevin. Hi, Kevin.
It's unusual that I listen to your morning show, but I did so for a very short time today. I was surprised indeed to witness that your mental condition hasn't improved for many years. Surely you don't consider yourself a suitable example for this community's young people, humans in particular. Willful idiocy is one of the worst choices a person can make and one of the most dangerous habits to maintain. I leave you this note hoping that you reconsider your responsibility as a local public personality to present and promote a smarter lifestyle.
How dare you.
P.S. Please fire Beer Mug. Daniel.
So have you just been bullied, Kevin? Or is a guy a douchebag for pointing out something you already knew?
Listen, children, if we have to learn something, it's not to be mean.
That made me laugh.
That made me laugh. Yeah. Should have made Fatty laugh. Didn't. Back to you.
How about Knott's Haunted... Excuse me, let me try that again. How about Knott's Halloween Haunt?
Yay!
This is pretty cool. Happens every year. It's the 40th annual Knott's Halloween Haunt, by the way. This is the world's first, largest, and longest-running Halloween event. 13 mazes this year, 4 scare zones, 9 hair-raising shows, 1,000 roaming monsters roaming the park. Knott's really was, they were the kings. They started it all off, going there and people coming up and scaring you while you're walking through the park and stuff. It's awesome. If you'd like to go, and why wouldn't you, I've got tickets to give away right now. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. And you will get a pair of tickets. The first 5 callers who get through at that phone number will get a pair of tickets for Knott's Halloween Haunt in their tickets. Cool event. Next hour, by the way, I'll be giving away my garbage tickets at Cinema. Oh. Heard the garbage show was pretty entertaining there at the Palladium this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
what did
I
you
heard.
Hear?
That's oh, you heard. You didn't go because you were sick. What a bummer.
Not well. Yeah. One band I wanted to see this
that
year.
Sucks.
Really looking forward to that show. Maybe I'll go to the show in December at San Manuel. Music news, top 20 from the Billboard 100 was released today. Psy was so close. He was right there.
Oh, don't tell me it's Adolf Swindler.
No, it's right, Maroon 5. Their song, One More Night, is number one on the Billboard 100. Gangnam Style was number 2. Hanging in there was like, how often does it happen where an internet goof like that becomes a smash hit single?
That's not very often. Right? And in a foreign language, I mean.
Oh, that's in here. Any language. That song is magic.
Agreed.
That's all you need. Makes you move your groove thing. Some Nights by Fun Period. 3rd on the list. We Are Never, Ever, 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 Ever. Infinity Getting Back Together by Adolf Swindler was 4th. And then Blow Me. One Last Kiss by Pink. That's how it's written here. Blow Me, parentheses, One Last Kiss.
All right.
Pink. I'm guessing she did that for just that effect. Mm. While we're talking about music, the new James Bond theme from the movie Skyfall that comes out next month. I can't remember the last time I was this excited about a James Bond movie.
Looks great.
It really does. It looks like the perfect mix of sort of gritty realism that Daniel Craig and the producers have brought to the rebooted franchise. With some of the classic elements that made Bond Bond for the first time. Seems like they've got the mixture just right in this film. Can't wait to see it. And it's certainly reflected in the theme song as well. Adele sings the new theme song for the song Skyfall. It was officially released today. It was leaked yesterday a little bit. But in case you haven't heard it, here's a little taste of Adele singing Skyfall.
Hit the skyfall.
Imagine the opening with that thing gone and Bond turning and shooting and the blood runs down the screen. Cannot wait for that film to come out.
When's that coming out?
November the 9th. Oh, Friday, November 9th. Yeah, about a month away. So,
Ralph, did you see the list they've already got up on BuzzFeed this morning where they rank the James Bond themes and they put Skyfall by Adele that you just heard at number 5 on the all-time list of the James
Bond
themes.
Strong.
Yeah,
pretty
strong. Yeah, they love it.
What ended up at number 1? Did I Live and Let Die?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's inarguable. It's hard to beat that.
That's a good one. From movies that we can't wait to see to movies that we can't believe they're making, Hollywood Reporter today says the Hasbro Toy Company has announced their next 3 projects. These are the people, of course, who gave us G.I. Joe.
Yep.
Who gave us Battleship.
Yep.
Transformers.
You guys laugh. I think Battleship is underrated.
Do you?
I do.
Was it loud enough for you? I know you
it
love
was.
Loud movies.
That's why he liked it. It was loud.
It was loud.
A lot of explosions.
Monopoly, the movie.
No.
Coming to you soon?
No.
A British version of G.I. Joe called Action Man. In England, their action figure was known as Action Man. Action Man's
not
getting
very creative.
His own movie.
What does he do? He's full of action.
What's your name? I'm Action Man. What do you do? Watch. Wow, you sure are active.
That's a terrible idea.
Action Man. And lastly, and mostly, most importantly, Hungry Hungry Hippos, the movie.
All right.
Which I used a lot as a punchline when they announced Battleship, the movie, and Ouija Board, the movie. Now Hungry Hungry Hippos, the movie, coming to a theater near you.
Ralph, there's got to be a lot of parts up for grabs in that Monopoly movie. Maybe you could play the thimble or the race car or something.
I would love to audition for the top hat. I don't know. Although I did on stage, I originated the role of Park Place. So
is that
hopefully
right?
Maybe I'll get another chance
to reprise that?
Take a shot at
it'd be
that.
Fantastic.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jesse Eisenberg from The Social Network and other great feature films. He is 29 years old today. Josie Bissett from Melrose Place and The Secret Life of an American Teenager. She's 42. Guy Pearce is 45 years old. Clive Barker, writer, director, producer. Such horror staples as Hellraiser and Candyman came from the mind of Clive Barker. He's 60 years old. And Kate Winslet, one of my all-time celebrity crushes. She is 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
That is the latest from Passion Pit on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. That is called Take a Walk. And it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Yeah. Passion
That's
Pit.
That's an awesome... What? Awesome song.
What?
The Passion Pit. Yeah. They're going to be talking about.
I think you're trying to make more out of that than there is.
Passion Pit. Yeah.
They're going to be doing a Saturday Night Live next weekend as the musical guest, too. Again, the band is called Passion Pit, as Ralph pointed out.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get into the last the showbiz beat of the week.
Wow, it's loud.
That
music is way too loud for me, personally.
What? I thought you might be interested, Ralph, in hearing one of the best moments with... in a long time.
That happened earlier on the show today.
Of course I would be interested. You know how much I love moments with.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say it, 1709?
Huh? 1709?
What? Hold on.
No! Lisa?
I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But
that wouldn't be 17 either, would it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was a moment with Kevin.
What a random response. Even for you.
I have no explanation for you either. All right, time for the show. Here's Ralph.
Oh, man. Magical.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. And thanks to everyone, by the way, for the very kind tweets and emails checking up on me while I was out sick for a couple days. I appreciate it. A lot of strange theories were also out there. I don't know how people got the impression that I was A, fired, suspended.
I thought the leading contender was Bean's here for the breakfast.
That was another one.
Yeah.
But why would I be here today if I was going to avoid Bean? I would have just taken one more sick day.
That's
that was really
point.
My
so that's not it.
My motivation. One listener said, are you just... Did you finally lay down the law and say it's either you or Beer Mug? You'll be back when Beer Mug is gone? No,
please do that, Ralph. Please
do that. Also wasn't my motivation. I actually was ill, so I had to take some time off. But thanks to everyone who was checking up on me.
I don't
think
that occurred to anyone.
I got it. I got several emails saying, have you drawn the line? Is it going to be you or Beer Mug?
I don't think the fact that you were actually sick occurred to anybody.
No, some people actually got that. And they did check up on me, and I do appreciate the concern. But I'm back. I am blistered, but I'm back.
Don't ask.
Okay. We got a couple
What's
minutes.
Blistered? What does that mean?
Let me just cover. It's the weirdest thing ever.
All right.
I got a disease that no one gets. If that makes any sense, it's a childhood only disease called hand, foot, and mouth, which I think is just the lamest, most lazy name for a disease ever. That's the best they could come
they
up with.
They didn't work on that at all, did
no.
they?
No. What's it like? Well, it attacks the hands, the feet, and the mouth. Okay, we'll call it hand, foot, and mouth disease, then.
Why does it just attack those parts of
your body? No one knows. It's a virus the kids get. Like, they get measles or mumps or whatever. And it's a virus. And it starts off with flu-like symptoms, and you get a fever. And then once the fever breaks, though, that's when the fun starts, because your body gets covered with a rash.
Oh!
And then you start to get angry, painful blisters on your hands, feet, and in your mouth.
They're angry?
They're angry. And so my daughter Olivia contracted this by at her first day at preschool.
Welcome
which is
to
great.
School.
It's like a freaking petri dish over there, I guess. They're just breeding all kinds of illnesses. So she got it, and she went through it. And it wasn't too bad for her. And then I was walking around the house and said, geez, you know, my throat's kind of sore. I'm feeling kind of crappy. I'm feeling a little feverish. And my wife said, well, don't worry. You know, you can't have that because only kids get that. No adults get that. And I said, well, then I must be coming down with a cold or something. And then the fever hit, and that was bad. And then the next morning I was walking across the kitchen to get some coffee. I was like, damn, my foot hurts. Like I stepped on something. Like I got a splinter in my foot or something. That's strange. And then 12 hours later.
Sweet.
I was like something out of a science fiction movie. I was covered with these red blisters all over me.
Why did you get it if no adults get it?
Well, I did a little research on the internet, and apparently less than 5% of adults who didn't get it when they were kids, if you don't have the immunity to it,
right.
It's possible that less than 5% of adults, of all adults who could possibly get it, can contract it.
Wow.
And it's apparently worse in grown-ups than it is in kids. And so I've been dealing with that for the past couple days. So the good news is I feel like I did the 50-yard dash through a track of broken glass as I'm walking around.
That's the good news?
That's the good news. Bad news is I do have a couple painful blisters on my ass.
Oh, good.
Okay. Too much information.
All right, yeah. Then. So sitting is not a particularly good experience either.
Is it still contagious, Ralph? Is there any way Beer Mug could get it?
I don't know if he had it as a kid. I don't know if he had it as a kid.
Well, you should just go rub your hands all over him.
But even if
he
didn't, only 5% of all people who can get it do get it.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like winning the viral lottery, basically, is what happened to me.
Or losing the viral lottery.
Yeah, depending how you look at it. I'm a glass half full guy. Sure. You know that about me. So that's what I've been dealing with the past couple days, and so I thanks everyone who was checking up on me.
Good times.
I'm better now, but not much. Okay, let me give away these tickets. People have been writing and asking when you're giving away the garbage tickets. It's right now, people.
Yay!
Garbage at San Manuel, Indian Bingo and Casino. It's happening on Thursday, December the 6th. That's another bitch, too. I had tickets to go see Garbage at the Palladium, and I couldn't go because I was all blistered.
Yeah, that's not good.
It is San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino Thursday, December the 6th. Tickets go on sale today at 11 a.m., but how about winning tickets before you can buy them? I've got a pair right now, but I want to give it to a real garbage fan. I don't want to just give them to anybody. So here's a little garbage trivia. If you can come up with this, you got the correct answer, you call in at 1-800-520-1067. The first person through with the right answer, you will get a pair of tickets to see Garbage at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on December the 6th. Here's your trivia question. On the Garbage album, Bleed Like Me, oh, I love that album, Dave Grohl, our buddy Dave Grohl, played drums for the band on one of the songs.
Yes.
On that album.
That's true.
It is true, Kevin. I'm asking which song. Oh. Which song on that album? Name the song. Dave Grohl plays drums for Garbage on the album Bleed Like Me. 1-800-520-1067. Call now. First person through with the right answer. You get yourself tickets. Go see Garbage. I love this battle between Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey.
I do, too.
Here's the thing. Apparently, they have no intention of showcasing or playing that up in the actual show.
Why?
So the video that leaked online this week was a pirated video of someone's cell
phone. The only interesting part about that whole show.
I know. If they were attacking each other every week, I would tune in, absolutely. But apparently, that's not going to happen. You've probably seen the video by now. If not, you can see it in several sources like TMZ.com. But they are yelling at each other, screaming at each other. Nicki Minaj threatens to knock out Mariah Carey. I told them, Nicki says, I'm not effing putting up with her effing highness over there. Then Mariah Carey responds with, oh, why are you 3 years old? Starts calling her a child. I love Keith Urban, who's in the middle, has just got his hands up like this, like he's surrendering, just begging for sweet death.
Yeah.
Well, it continued yesterday when Mariah talked to Barbara Walters on The View about the incident. She said more than one person overheard Nicki Minaj saying, if I had a gun, I would shoot the bitch.
Huh.
Mariah said she has hired extra security because Nicki is unpredictable and feels she can't take a chance around her. She doesn't feel comfortable being around her, but plans to remain on the show, she said. Nicki responded via Twitter, I guess it hurts to have the producers tell you to your face that Nicki is the best judge we've had since Simon. Oh, poor you. Keep them lies coming. Then she added, hey, y'all, let's just say Nicki said something about a gun. People will believe that because she's a black rapper.
Mm.
Yeah, so
It's on.
These two are going to be at each other's throats.
Nicki Minaj is crazy, but does not seem dangerous to me. But what the hell do I know?
But if she had a gun, she would have shot the bitch.
Well, yeah.
That's Mariah.
Her effing highness.
That's right. Sacha Baron Cohen continues to make me laugh without putting even a single scene on film. Just by announcing his films, I start to laugh. His next film is based on the recent story that was in the news. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. There's a Hong Kong billionaire who has offered $65 million to any man who can marry his lesbian daughter and turn her straight.
Oh, my God.
This is a real story. His name is Cecil Chow. His daughter Gigi is a severe lesbian. If you've seen photos of her, she is very lesbianic.
She's not coming back.
She's not coming back. He wants grandkids. He wants his daughter to be straight. So he is offering a bounty of $65 million to any man who can straighten his daughter out and get her to marry him.
Is that how it works?
I do not believe so, no.
Hmm. Odd.
Now, despite the fact that Gigi, his daughter, has a longtime girlfriend and had their relationship blessed in a French church, she couldn't officially get married, but she considers her her wife, odds of picking up that $65 million payday are very slim. This hasn't kept Sacha Baron Cohen, however, from writing a fictional version of the same story. His new film is called The Lesbian, he's announced. He's going to make a movie based on that premise and make a comedy out of it.
Fantastic.
That sounds fun.
Twice the taco.
There you go. What he said. Eva Longoria and Mark Sanchez, rumors were that she was pregnant with his child. Well, her representative has come forward today and said it is absolutely, positively not true. They are quite close. Perhaps even in love, but there's no baby on the way, so no one has to worry. Was anybody worried?
No. If Sanchez can't get the job done, maybe she'll bring Tebow in.
Oh, zing!
See, they play on the same team.
A little NFL comedy there.
Oh, that was good.
Speaking of NFL comedy, what happened to your Cardinals last night there, Kev?
A lot. A lot happened to them.
They scored 3 points more than I scored. That's what I know.
Kevin Cobb is sore today.
Yeah.
He's in bad shape.
We got him from the Eagles, and I think they were happy to get rid of him.
How dare you, sir? Nicolas Cage wants you to know he never, ever stalked Vanessa Hudgens. Remember that story I told you on the set of their film, The Frozen Ground?
Oh, yeah. He kept going when he wasn't in a scene.
He would keep lurking around the set and watching her while she was filming her scenes.
Ew.
And creeping her out. Well, he wants you to know it's not the case, and he had Vanessa Hudgens step up and say the same thing at gunpoint. No, she also told reporters that it never happened. They were happy to work together, and everything was fine. So
the official statement,
the official apology from Star Magazine is now forthcoming. They said they're sorry that they printed the story, and they're happy to set the record straight. I bet they are, because everyone reads the first story, and no one reads the apologies. Helena Bonham Carter and Tim Burton have been a couple for over a decade, but now it's serious. They're finally moving in together.
Oh,
what's the rush?
How many kids?
Which is good news for their two kids, I guess, Lisa. Yeah. They finally took the big step and bought a property together, and they are now currently living together.
I give them six months now.
Split up, yes, for sure.
Well, Helena Bonham Carter says things are going surprisingly okay, she says.
Surprisingly okay.
Why do you stay with someone for a decade if you're surprised that you can cohabitate
and have
two kids?
Maybe she didn't think she could cohabitate with anyone.
Perhaps that's the case.
Yeah.
But she does say the arrangement is quite cozy, and the two kids are thrilled to have mom and dad in the same house at the same time. So,
Ralph, you might know this. You're in show business. Whatever happened to Tim Burton's last girlfriend that he put in some movies, the beautiful actress model Lisa Marie, who seems to have dropped off the face of the earth after they broke up?
She's still around.
Does she still act?
She doesn't act anymore. She never really was one for it. That was not her thing. He would put her in his movies so they could be together and work together, but she was never had a burning passion for acting.
She was a way good deal compared to Helena Bonham Carter,
from my opinion. Lovely. She was lovely, yeah. I always enjoyed her work. She was great in Ed Wood, particularly. I thought she did a good job. We have an answer to my trivia question?
We do.
Kathy, perhaps, has the correct answer. Kathy?
Oh, yay! Bad Boyfriend.
Bad Boyfriend is the name of the song. You're right. Dave Grohl played drums on that track on Bleed Like Me, the Garbage album. You're going to go see Garbage at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino on December the 6th.
Beautiful. Perfect. I love them.
They're playing with Imagine Dragons, too.
Yeah, see them both. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks,
Kath.
It's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Guy Pearce is 45 years old today.
And you didn't have time for the E on Kathy?
You want to say Kathy? That
saved some time. Yeah, he said, thanks, Kath.
I'm very busy.
I'm actually pretty busy.
At least he didn't say catheter. Could have been worse.
Yeah.
Clive Barker, writer, director, producer, horror icon. He is 60 years old. Josie Bissett from Melrose Place and Secret Life of the American Teenager is 42. Grant Hill, Clippers guard Grant Hill, is 40 years old.
That's old in the NBA.
Yes,
years,
it is.
Isn't it?
Very.
Jesse Eisenberg, very talented actor from The Social Network and other films, is 29 years old. And Kate Winslet celebrates her 37th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, I need some tips. I'm going to be out at Santa Anita tomorrow.
Ah!
You know, the races start at noon. We're having a big K-Rock thing at Serona's Bar. The races start at noon. There's a Steel Pulse concert at 6. And every time I go out there, Ralph tells me who to bet on. And then I just get destroyed. I just get lambasted, yeah. And I lose my ass.
I don't have the race form here in front of me, but I like the 5 horse in the 3rd race.
All right, I'll work on that. 5.
Put everything you got on that. From the number 5 in the 3rd race.
3rd race. All right, good.
I believe it's Healing Blister is the name of the horse. I'd bet heavily on that one.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What it is, soul brother.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Thank you for whipping the crowd into a frenzy.
Roll another one.
Betty White is a filthy old tramp.
Just like the other one.
I want to have sex with her.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Yes, I love you.
And I need another hit.
I actually had one come up to me after a show one time and say that when you call a dwarf a midget, it's the exact same as calling a black person the N-word. And to that, I said, midget, please.
Roll.
Roll.
Kind of like We Are the World, except I actually think it could have a real impact on society.
Just pass it around.
Tissue, please. I now need tissue.
How dare you?
I just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
But
what?
This wasn't that bad, was it?
This was pathetic. It was embarrassing. It was one of the worst performances I've seen in my life.
Can I go home now? Oh, God.
You do whatever you want to do.
You just bought yourself another week. Go home and get some rest.
Oh, okay. Love you. Bye.